The previous two times I've given the Bible talk here at Kalanga, I've picked up on that theme of since we call these occasions Bible talks, usually they're somebody talking from the Bible. But I kind of thought Bible talks. Well, you know, it is true that the Bible talks. So first time we looked at Psalm 19 and what the Bible says about itself, and then the next time we asked that question, when the Bible talks, how can we listen? And we distributed some outlines of a way we could actually approach the Bible, and just like we would ask questions of somebody that we'd just met, tell us something about yourself, the things that you find important, the things you don't like, the things that you do like. We can ask similar questions of the Bible and we can learn a whole lot about God. And we had a practice at doing that, looking at that first bit of Titus chapter 3. And I think some of you have found that helpful, even though the printing ended up being really, 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 really tiny. And I think Frank Harrison overcame that by putting it on the photocopier and blowing it up again. But that's okay. Tonight, I thought it would be helpful just for the third and final one in this theory, in this series, to think about that, the fact that God communicates to us, certainly in nature, certainly in the Bible, but most wonderfully through his son Jesus. And Jesus is the living word of God, the living communication from God. The Bible is his written word. And just to recap, the previous two times we've seen that three big questions that human beings tend to ask going through life. What's real and true is one big question. It's one of the basic questions. What's good and valuable and worthwhile? Another basic question. And underlying those, how can we know and understand what's real and true and what's good and valuable and worthwhile? There are fancy technical terms for those questions, but we won't even talk about them now. There's basically three areas of big questions that people ask. What's real, true? What's good and valuable, worthwhile? How can we know and understand? And the Bible has answers for us. Basically, the Bible's response is that God is real and he's really there. That God and everything about him is good. And how we can know and understand is that God shows himself to us so that we can not only know about him as well as other things that are real and good, but we can also know him. And we can know how to know him. So the Bible gives us answers to the big questions of life. But if somebody wanted to let you know about themselves, how would they go about it? Generally, they share themselves and their life, and how God gets us to know about him is by sharing himself with us. He talks to us. It's like you might talk to a friend. You might talk face to face. You might pick up the phone. You might talk by Skype. But having their actual voice in your ear is a way to get to know them. But if you're in a situation where it's not feasible to actually talk, ever since human beings have been around, when the distance has been too great to talk, people have been able to write. And write a letter. Nowadays we write an email or a text, but we can still write. And of course, when we are together, we can eat together, we can work together, we can care about things together or things or people together. Essentially, you get to know somebody or somebody helps you to get to know them by sharing their life with you. And that's what God did in Jesus Christ. He shared his life with us. He came and shared our life with us. When he came in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, Jesus was on this earth talking to his disciples. They wrote down the things that were important, but he ate together with them. He ate together with them. He worked together with them. He worked with them in caring about people. That's right. He cared for them and he showed them how to care for others. If I can just remind us about... Sorry. There's a whole pile of stuff that's missed off, dropped off that slide. Sorry. No. Oh, do I? Ah, thank you. I forgot that I had builds in it. Okay, this I'll do this quickly. If that's a timeline, and there's now, and right back at the beginning of the timeline is when Jesus created the universe. At the inflection of the timeline is when Jesus was born as a human, lived and died and rose from death and ascended to heaven. And between now and sometime in the future, Jesus will return to judge the world and take his people to be with him. We're in that timeline. Just remember that in Old Testament times, there were men like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, King David, and the Bible was written in that time and that time. And it's a complete record for us of what God has to say for us, to us. Remember that the Bible is essentially a library of books. There are 39 books in the Old Testament part of the library leading up to when Jesus came to earth, and 27 books in the New Testament part of the library from Jesus' time forward. And I'd like us to listen to a portion from this book, the account of Jesus' life that his follower John has written down for us. And in this book, the living word, Jesus, talks about the written word, the Bible. So let's just read together these verses from John chapter 5. Jesus is speaking to some Jewish people, especially Jewish leaders who are there with him. And he says, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There's another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you are willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor see his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honour from men. But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honour from one another and do not seek the honour that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" So Jesus brings a sobering challenge. He brought a sobering challenge to the people there in his day, and he brings it to us as well. Let's just think together about what the living word from God says about the written word from God. Okay. Pardon me. Jesus challenged his hearers. He said, "Look, you spend a lot of time doing Bible study. You've got your Bibles out, you're reading them, and you've got a reason for doing that. Because you think you have eternal life. You think that your study of the Bible and your understanding of the Bible is going to give you life that goes on forever. But Jesus says, you know, there's a problem. You think you have eternal life, but the problem is you haven't really understood the Scriptures. Jesus is interacting with these people for a purpose. He's speaking to them so that they may be saved, so that they may have life. They think they have eternal life. The problem is they're at risk of judgment. Jesus says there's an accusation against them in God's courtroom. If you go into the courtroom and you're accused of a serious crime, if you live in a country where the penalty for that crime is death, and you're found guilty, you're not going to go on to have a long life. You're going to face the death penalty. You're going to be executed. Jesus is saying to these people who hear him, there's an accusation against you before my heavenly Father, the one God, the true God. The accusation is that you've broken his law. The accusation is that you deserve death. The problem is you think you have eternal life. You think that by your study of the Bible, you've found the way to be right with God and have life. But I'm here, I'm speaking to you, I'm here doing what I'm doing for the specific purpose that you may be saved, that you may be rescued, that instead of getting the death penalty in God's courtroom, you'll be rescued from that penalty. And instead, you'll have life. So how does this all work out? Okay, don't try to follow the exact size of the print. I've just highlighted in colour a pile of concepts that so that you can see how they follow through. You can probably see a whole pile of red print there. Jesus is talking about the whole concept of witness. We've got this courtroom idea going. When you're brought into a courtroom and there's an accusation against you, it's the responsibility of the person prosecuting you to bring witnesses. Now, you can bring witnesses of your own in your defence. And Jesus starts off this portion by saying, well, look, I know it says in the Bible that if I'm the only witness, if there's only one witness to something, the courtroom can't take any notice of it. Certainly, if somebody's going to be put to death, Kathy and I were just reading this in Deuteronomy in our own readings a day or so ago, the Bible's principle is there has to be at least two witnesses, two or three witnesses, before anyone can face the death penalty. Because it could be just that now I've got a grudge against you and I'm going to rock up in court and say you did something terrible and just on my say-so you end up getting executed. There has to be at least one other person to bear that up. So Jesus is talking about this whole idea of how do we know what's true? How do we know who to believe? And Jesus is saying, you listen to what reliable witnesses say. And Jesus says, look, if I were the only one speaking on my behalf, you'd have every right under the principles of the Bible to ignore what I say. But Jesus calls several other witnesses to speak on his behalf. He says, there's another who bears witness of me. And I know the witness of which he bears witness is true. And there's that concept of truth is highlighted there in yellow. The big questions, number one big questions, what's true and what's real? Jesus says, if you want to know the truth, you've got to listen to the witness this personal witness who is witnessing about me. Now, I think certainly the translators of the New King James Bible thought that this was a divine person because they put a capital H on the he. It's not there in the original language. I don't think he's just talking about John the Baptist because he talks about him later. It's possible that he's speaking specifically of the Holy Spirit because he speaks of his Father later. But Jesus says there's a divine witness. God speaks of me. God witnesses that I am true. And then he jumps to John the Baptist and he says, look, you Jewish leaders, you've asked John the Baptist what he thinks about me. And he's told you, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's borne witness to the truth. And Jesus emphasizes, he says, look, I'm not counting on John's testimony for you to believe the truth. I'm here to tell you. I'm not here for John to speak about me. I'm here to speak things so that you will be saved. Yes, John was a burning and shining lamp. You were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. John was a great witness to the truth, John the Baptist, until he was put to death. But Jesus says, I've got an even greater witness than John's. The works which my Father's given me to finish, the very works that I do, they bear witness of me that my Father has sent me. So the Holy Spirit bears witness, John the Baptist bears witness, the works that the Father has given Jesus to do bear witness. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. It's the same word or very similar word in Greek. Jesus says, you haven't heard his voice. You haven't seen his form. You haven't even got his word abiding in you. Because the one he sent, you don't believe. God the Father did actually speak from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. The Father has testified. So the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus. John the Baptist testifies. The works that God the Father sent. God the Father himself has testified about Jesus. And then he rebukes his hearers. He says, look, you spend all this time in Bible study. You're convinced that your understanding of the Bible is going to lead you into eternal life. But you've made a crucial mistake because the scriptures, what we now call the Old Testament, what was written down by God's prophets, testify about me. So count them up. The Holy Spirit, John the Baptist, the works, God the Father himself, the scriptures, they all testify. They're all witnesses telling us that Jesus can be trusted, that Jesus is the truth, that Jesus is the one who speaks words so that we might be saved. Jesus is the one who has come that we might have life if we will come to him. And he says, the problem is, you're not willing to come to me. You're not willing to receive me. You're not willing to believe me. You say that you love the Bible. You say that you think the Bible's going to give you eternal life. Trouble is, the Bible talks about me and what I've come to do. And if you don't believe me, now that I'm here, you're not believing the Bible. And this word honour is like glory. He's saying, look, I'm not here to tell for other people to, for human beings, to say how great I am, to testify of me. You don't have the love of God in you. I've come in my Father's name. You don't receive me. You've got others who are willing to big note themselves. They're here to make a big noise, to get honour from others. Rabbi so-and-so, he's the greatest Bible teacher. Let's listen to him. Let's give him honour. Let's say how glorious he is. Jesus says, how can you believe who receive honour from one another and do not seek the honour that comes from the only God. Don't be so keen to follow this spiritual teacher or that spiritual teacher who are only in it for the fame and the big noting that they're getting from other people. Seek the honour that comes from the only God. Now, finally, if we can draw a distinction between the scriptures and Moses, we can add another witness, because Jesus says, look, don't worry that I'm going to be the one accusing you to the Father. In God's courtroom, there's already an accuser in the courtroom. He was there centuries ago. His name is Moses. You know that Moses that you read about in the Bible, that Moses who wrote all of those books, those first five books in the Bible, that Moses whose laws you are counting on so strongly to get you right with God if you only keep them. You trust in Moses, but Moses is the one who accuses you before God because it's the laws that Moses wrote down in the Bible that you don't keep. If you're honest with yourself, you're breaking them all the time. You think you've got eternal life. Sorry, Moses accuses you in God's courtroom. You haven't got a hope. Because honestly, if you believed Moses, you'd believe me. Because Moses wrote about me. Moses actually told the people, he said, after me, God will raise up another prophet. The prophet who is the fulfillment of all that I've written. All of the laws that Moses wrote, all of the spiritual teaching that Moses gave God's Old Testament people came to fulfillment in Jesus. Moses wrote about me, says Jesus. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? So the question for us tonight is, when Jesus talks, will we listen? The written word tells us about the living word. We read about Jesus in the Bible. And Jesus tells us about the scriptures. They bear witness to each other. Jesus tells us about the Bible tells us about Jesus. The testimony that they give of each other is true testimony. The living word, Jesus, speaks and acts to bring life to dead rebels like us. To love Jesus and his Father is to listen to him, to come to him, to believe in him and receive him. And that is the only way that we will find rescue from God's judgment. The only way we'll find life that goes on forever with him. When the living word speaks about the written word, it's important that we hear and believe and come to him and receive him. Amen.